May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. It's Trinity Sunday. It's Trinity Sunday, the day when traditionally the rector takes the weekend off and and leaves the assistant clergy to struggle with the theology and the philosophy behind God, three in one and one in three. I know, I've been a rector too. I've done this to my curates. So this is only poetic justice. Well, I'm sure you're up for it, so let's have a go. Right, we describe God as three persons in one God. We call these three persons God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In our human ignorance, we can only scratch the surface of reality. Even philosophers can only just prove their own existence. I think, therefore I am. So let alone prove the existence of God. Just by thinking about it. Thinking about it doesn't cut the mustard. Our faith is not about proving the existence of God. I believe such a thing to be impossible. What we need to do is not prove the existence of God, but to know God. And how are we going to do that? We rely not on philosophy, not on the scientific method to know God. We rely on God to reveal himself. And his all-embracing love and creative power to us, we need him to reveal himself. Long before we even thought of seeking God, God was already on the way seeking us and saving us. See my little green book, which is on sale at the back. God has shown us in many ways that God is more like a family or a group of friends than just a single person. And we can see what God's personalities are like by what he has shown us. There is God the Father who created the world and everything in it. And Jesus taught us to call him our Father when we pray. The Father is a loving Father. He loves us so much that he sends his Son Jesus to be our Saviour. There is God, the Son, Jesus. Jesus was God made human, born as a human baby in Bethlehem. He came to teach us and show us how to live as God's children. He died on the cross and rose from the dead so that all who followed him could share his eternal life. And then there is God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our unseen friend, the powerful and gentle person of God who lives with us and in us, helping us to live and love as God's children. Now, that's the three. How about the one? Sometimes we can find it confusing to think of three persons in one God. I've already likened the Trinity to a family, but the relationship within the Godhead that we have been shown is in some ways closer than that. So I'm going to give you something else to compare God with from a description that Jesus himself used. He told us that we were the light of the world, and that's true because we carry him to the world. But he also says he calls himself the light of the world first. And so I'm going to take the source of light. I'm going to take the sun, that disc in the sky that shines. Imagine the sun in the sky on a hot summer's day, like today, maybe. Compare God to that sun in the sky. Now, the sun, which is a ball of light and heat, 94 million miles away, and which is too powerful for us to look at directly, that is, in this analogy, this is like God the Father. Now, from the sun, comes light, which shines in our world and gives light to us. Now, we could compare this light with the Son of God. Jesus did call himself the light of the world. Now, from the sun not only comes light, but also comes heat, warmth. Warmth to warm the earth and to make things grow. We could compare this heat with the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. Just as a fertilized egg or a planted seed needs warmth to grow and live, so the Holy Spirit warms our hearts, helping the faith planted there by God to grow strong. So we can imagine the sun in the sky, the light that shines from it, and the warmth of its rays, three separate things, yet one does not exist without the other. They are three, and they are one, just like God the Holy Trinity. Wherever Jesus is, there we shall find God the Father. Wherever the Father is, there we shall see the Son of God. Wherever the Father and the Son are, the Spirit is there with them. They are three, and yet God is one. You deserve a story after all that. In a book he wrote many years ago entitled Everybody's Calvary, Alan Walker tells of a young priest in a little village church. It was not, let us admit it, a very successful church, and its priest was young and inexperienced. It was his first living. Matins, which was what the village parishioners liked, had drawn to an end. He was going to offer Holy Communion to anyone who stayed, and he shook hands at the door with those who left, and then he went back to the altar. Only two people had bothered to stay. But that's within the realms of okay for a communion service, two or three gathered together. But the congregation was so small that this inexperienced priest thought it might be too embarrassing to do it. And he was tempted to cancel the Eucharist. But he beat about the bush for a bit and then he decided to carry on. He followed the ancient ritual and he came to the words leading up to Isaiah's angelic hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. And as he said these introductory words, therefore with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, he stopped. The wonder of it had gripped him. Angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. Ah, God, he said, forgive me. I had forgotten I was in that company. In worship, even where only two or three are gathered together, Jesus is there, and all the company of heaven are there, and they're here too. Now, this kind of thing happened in the Bible, and it happens again and again in human experience. Look up the story of Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 6, and you'll read how at a place called Dothan, Elisha opened the eyes of his servant so that he could see the unseen host which surrounded them from heaven. And when we worship, even with only two or three, we too are compassed about with a mighty cloud of witnesses, as it says in the letter to the Hebrews. Well, now, that's my survey of the Trinity. I hope it was helpful. And I would love to leave it there, but I can't. So here, everyone's heart sinks, is where the sermon really starts. Thankfully, it's only a few sentences long, and it's this, that the whole point of Jesus becoming human was to put each one of us personally in touch with God, God who is no longer hidden above the clouds, no longer hidden behind the curtain in the temple, but with us and in us and in those whom we love and serve. He's everywhere, and he is here. As St. Patrick memorably wrote, and this is the end of the sermon, Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. And then he ends, I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity by invocation of the same, the three in one and one in three. Amen.